Hello, welcome to Universal Soul Love. This is David Love.
And this is Lana Love.
Welcome to the show. Today we have a special guest who we got at the last minute, and we're very proud to have Douglas Newsom of the BBS Radio Network, our producer, one of our first guests and one of our favorite guests, very knowledgeable, has a lot of experience in the spiritual community. Very excited to have Doug here today to talk with us about the idea of survivalisms and permaculture and self-sustainable living. And he's had experience with so many guests on the BBS radio network. He's listened to so many interviews, probably thousands, I imagine, lots of interesting people. And, you know, we've had a great time with him here before, and we're so glad that we're able to get Doug at the last minute to come in with us because we weren't quite prepared to do the show today. We've had a lot going on, and
we've been talking and thinking a lot about this topic, about the times now, about survivalism and what to do, and the new future that might await us.
Great new earth. We talk a lot about global issues, global economic difficulties that we've been seeing, and global warfare, all the things happening in the world, climactic change, and Nibiru, of course, has been on Lana's mind lately, Planet X, and we go back and forth on this about talking about, you know, basically preparing for an emergency and planning and really not probably going overboard with the survivalist mentality, because for me it's about quality of life and it's not about being fear-based or creating paranoia, but it's also about being prepared for an emergency or for any emergency. And as we, in our network and in our groups, especially on Facebook and on the social networks, there's always sort of a very divergent opinion on this about with the law of attraction and whether we should focus on the problem or just try to create our own personal reality and maintain a positive outlook under all circumstances. So, and it's always been a great debate. And Lana and I have always gone back and forth with the sort of the light worker mentality versus the light warrior thinking. So with that, I'd like to introduce Doug Newsom.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing excellent, thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on.
My pleasure.
So good to have you. Do you want to just give us a little bit of your background experience?
Well, geez.
Besides being a CEO of the radio network.
I wouldn't, in my background, what can one say? It's larger than life. It's larger than life, and yet more cruel than the cruelest joke. It's filled with incredible fantasy and history, and it's put me in my place a trillion times, and I'm more aware now because of it. What do I say? What does a guy say? You know, I love this business.
I've been with you for many years. Even long before Lana and I started our radio show with you, Universal Soul Love. I've been on Alexander Medeiros' show with Galactic Connection, and I've been on Affirmations with Living. So I know you well over the years, and I know your experience. And I think you're one of the most knowledgeable people I know in many areas of the human endeavor. So.
And you know what you learn with more and more and more knowledge?
That's very true. And it's good to have you actually speaking on the radio show. So,
just before we, about 45 minutes before we decided to do the show, you mentioned that you were growing your own vegetables.
I'm very impressed.
Yeah, that's what sort of brought us into this.
Well, why, thank you. You know, there was a discussion earlier, and you commented before the introduction, and it was in regards to thinking through so many different situations that could come upon us and whether we should prepare or whether we shouldn't. And through all of that, I didn't hear the most important thing. What makes me the happiest? So in essence, the question really is, I think it should be posed that way first. And when you answer that, if that fight or that investigation or purpose that you want to impart on your life is a part of that which makes you, you know, ultimately happy. I think that's important. I think a lot of us might be fooled into thinking that that's where happiness lies. At least in a spiritual sense, people might move in that direction because there's so much good that can be gained from participation in people working together. I grant it. But I still feel through it all, if you don't love that experience, you can't impart love into that experience.
And maybe that's the way that we have to live. Cut out the things that do not work for us and just focus on what does work for us.
I have heard that, you know, people, they say you've got to eliminate the things that don't serve your higher purpose and clear space for the things that bring you joy, love and joy.
Doug, I love your approach. I love the approach that when you say that you need to focus on what brings you happiness, and basically what you're saying is that if surviving, if doing that is going to bring you happiness, do it. But your emphasis is on happiness, not surviving. I love
Correct.
That. It's very wise.
Well, you're making me blush from such a beautiful, intelligent lady.
She certainly is.
No, I'm blushing. No, but it's true. It's true. I mean, why survive if you're not going to be happy?
Exactly.
I think any survivalist plan should include a quality of life and a high quality standard of living, whatever that means to you. And everybody has their own idea of what brings them happiness and joy in life. And
maybe your health is so important that what brings you a joy is, you know, an idea that you can be responsible for your own health. You know, it's funny, when you take responsibility, sometimes that doesn't bring you joy, but in so many cases it does. I mean, and yeah. One of the ways we can take responsibility, perhaps, for our joy, which I believe if you don't have your health, I don't know where you're going to find your joy. So that's an important element. And in today's world, they don't look after that aspect of us. We are, you know, we want them to. We want to believe that the grocery store is going to look after our interests. It's not. The companies aren't set up to look after our interests. They're set up to make money. So we can't rely on that convenience, I think, on today. Now, maybe into the future when people become more aware at the higher levels and they begin to understand these negative implications of what the GMOs and pesticides and everything else that's going into the food. But I truly believe that's, you know, with the pill popping that everybody's been doing, you know, you've seen cancer rates go from 1 in 50 to 1 in 2 in my lifetime. You've seen, diabetes type 1 and type 2 skyrocket. I mean, all these sorts of weird ailments that, I mean, what's the result of? Probably, you know, a toxic environment and bad food, or not complete food. When I like to look at food this way, if it covers all the colors in the rainbow, you're covered.
Right? That's a good way of looking at it. So I guess, Doug, I wouldn't find you walking into the nearest McDonald's, would I?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I shouldn't say that I approve of it. I don't. But the convenience of it is just such a great thing. Sometimes the desire to get those fries, you know, that they chemically alter and all. Oh, yeah, I'm a product of the culture.
Oh, okay. So you're pretty balanced then.
I think you would have to be a Zen master or at least a very powerful, mentally powerful person to shut off all those desires that are bad for you, or at least you might think is bad for you, or the world might think is bad for you. I don't even know if that's healthy. I think then we'd put you in a bubble. You know? Yeah. If you start killing all the germs, you even kill the good ones, right? Well, approaching life on some level like that is true too. If we desensitize ourselves, or if we wrap ourselves in these bubbles of cushion and say, no germ is going to get around me, maybe that's not good for diversity, for longevity in the long run. I don't know.
Oh, Doug, you're cracking me up. You're such a contradiction.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Surprise yesterday at Chargrill, Charlie's, or whatever, you know, and then it's a rare, very rare thing for me to have French fries So, you know, we all give in at times to our inner desires, you know.
Oh, it's interesting, though, because a lot of people that grow their own food and are into all of this would never, ever, you know, have chocolate or go into McDonald's. And yet Doug is doing both. Yeah. Well, that's interesting. That's called having a balanced lifestyle.
That's the golden rule that we like to follow. And Doug, you mentioned personal responsibility, and that's one of my central philosophies. And that's a difficult thing because doing the right thing doesn't always bring us happiness either. Sometimes it does, but there are things that we have to do that we don't like to do, and you know, we always try to do our best in life is what I think. We always try to do the right thing. We always try to do what as best we can. That's the as best you can philosophy that I learned in mindfulness in life. We're not Zen masters. We're all teachers and students of life for each other.
So. And all those aspects of yourself, you're going to relate to again and again, I'm sure. And we do. You know, there are times when we have these sorts of experiences and relating to them, you know, changes us. And I personally think you two, just with this show, you're evidence of the ability to project positive thought and action for people that really have a spiritual consciousness at foot. And most of us, I think, are waking up to that side of our being where that consciousness about what we eat, who it's going to affect, why it's going to affect them, what the costs are, what the benefits are, mm-hmm. are being drilled into us almost every day. I mean, it almost seems like it's not even coming from us so much as the world at large, but we're becoming consciously aware at a greater global level. That's exciting.
It really is, and it is, thank you very much, and it is about awareness. And, you know, a large part of my first book, Illusion of the Body, was devoted to chemical additives like MSG and aspartame, which I was big on at one time, and then it did make me sick. And it doesn't mean that I very occasionally use soy sauce, but I'm conscious of it, like you said, and
This is David drinking an energy drink.
So, you know,
I think that's got aspartate in it.
I hope not.
Never mind.
Maybe we just have to change our thinking. Maybe if we do drink that aspartame drink, all we have to do is say to ourselves something like a positive affirmation like, aspartame is really good for me because in some way my body breaks down those molecules faster, feeds it into energy, and because I'm hyper, indeed, it actually opens up the passageways in my arteries, and so I'm healthier because of it.
You know,
I don't even know if that would work. Maybe we can do that with GMOs.
Increases your psychic abilities, so...
Who knows?
Could it... Look, spiritualists talk about being able to, on some level, be affected by the thoughts, your inner thoughts, moving forward, and the projection and power of those thoughts. Well, why can't we attract a thought to a particular food group, or what it's going to do for us, or I don't know. Is that sound too kooky? Did I just go off into space, or is that basically... just the same line taken to a little bit further extreme that we're hearing every day as possible?
I don't know. I'm a great believer in law of attraction.
Yeah.
In our universe, in our earth, there's so many things we can attract and not into our life. I know with water, supposedly you can, with a thought, you can change the water molecules into good pure water molecules or somewhat troubled water molecules.
They say this is metaphysical theory and it's a valid metaphysical concept, and I'm all about metaphysics of
however,
the mystics. So it's a possibility. Anything is possible with the mind and with the universe.
However, so, if we have a huge, massive planet.
Here comes Planet X.
Coming towards us. I'm not sure if law of attraction will work.
We're talking about personal reality versus...
And ultimately something like that will occur. Something will occur. It will.
Something will occur.
It's just a matter of time.
Ask going to happen. It's true. Yeah.
So, and that's really why Steve Hawkins says, "Get off the planet," right? Our main number one. You know, it promotes the idea of our that's really our goal is to get off the planet because we can't be hamstrung to it. It's like maybe a growing organism being hamstrung to its, you know, the one-celled amoeba that it uses to live, and that structure's dying, so it's got to venture forth. Or maybe, I don't know. It just, we have to go out and be more space-oriented and travelers in that way if we expect our civilization, anything to live on this planet.
Uh-huh. It sounds like you're talking about non-attachment, Doug. Maybe we are too attached to the Earth.
I like to think that with infinity, there could be 1,000 Earths, each uniquely different. I mean, if you're thinking Star Wars, it's out there.
Alternate realities.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And planets and diversities of cultures. And I mean, wouldn't it be great to be able to space travel, light warp travel? I mean, I don't think we're there yet.
No, but there are all kinds of systems in the universe, astral systems, and astral travelers have reported back, like Robert Monroe, about all of these different civilizations in the multiverse, and there are infinite numbers of them, and there are probably infinite numbers of alternate Earths, and so...
And the big question is, how much can you control with your mind? And if you're in trouble in this reality... Do you scoot or not? Do you do something or not? Okay, everybody, we're going to talk about Planet X.
Okay. My thought is everyone is going to die. I guarantee, and I mean that. We are all going to die. We don't know when, and I talk about this all the time.
You're such an optimist, David.
But it could be tomorrow, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years. We will all die for some reason. I do believe we are eternal souls. We will infinite beings, and we will live on forever in another reality. So this is the human experiment. It's the physical world. We are in our bodies as vehicles to live out this life for whatever reason. So,
and Doug talks about the importance of being happy.
Yes, absolutely.
And most people would think that continuing to live might be greater happiness than not. That might actually not be true. However, if this thing is going to affect Earth, and it looks like Planet X is, it's not just one planet, it's a whole system. You've got Nemesis, the sun's dark twin, you've got Planet X, and you've got a number of other smaller planets, and you've got a lot of meteorites, mm-hmm. So you've got all of that.
And there seems to be some evidence for this.
Seems to be quite a bit of evidence.
I've seen you've shown me some of it.
That's right.
I'm sure you know a lot about this, Doug, from some of your other guests.
Oh, yeah.
And thankfully, the whole system's not going to crash into Earth, although meteorites might. However, unfortunately, because of gravity, tectonic plates are going to be pushed around a bit, and oceans are going to be sloshing back and forth.
This is what they're saying.
Maybe that's what happened before. Maybe that was the time of the flood. You had something come by. You had the Earth just make a rotation on its spin that was faster than the normal, so the water kind of enveloped the land.
Well, absolutely. When you talk about scientific evidence, there's a lot of evidence.
We've had ice ages and civilizations like Lemuria and Atlantis have come to an end. The dinosaurs supposedly came to an end because an asteroid, so yes.
Absolutely, there's been lots of polar shifts. Mm. They've found whales, remnants of ancient whales up on top of mountains, which, I'm told by the scientific community could only be accounted for by a huge tidal wave throwing it up like a basketball.
And now we're seeing major climactic change at this point in time, so I don't know.
And yet, thinking that something like this would happen seems loony, and it seems mad and crazy to think that our world will change.
Well, no, world does change. It changes in every moment. Change is a constant.
But it's very hard to live in two different realities. One is the everyday life here, when you have to go to work, look after the taxes, etc., etc., and the second reality where, oh my God, it's coming closer.
Okay, time for a knowledgeable guest opinion from Douglas Newsom. What do you think, Doug?
Do I believe in Planet X? Yes, I believe that they're not a. I don't. I believe.
He's a believer.
That, yes, I'm a roving person who believe. I believe a solar system or a twin star can move into our system, and probably events have done so a couple times in the past, or three or four times in the past that we know of, and happens every so. Now, is it around that time period where that could occur again, where you have maybe a Jupiter-sized planet coming into your solar system? That Sun might not, but let's say one of its planets is kind of rotating in, or do you get locked in a battle, or these, you know, that's what shaped our solar system on many levels, these kind of whacks. But I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid of aliens or an asteroid or any kind of great whack. What I guess I'm more afraid of is Hillary Clinton getting into office. Right? That scares the bejesus out of me. You know what I'm talking about?
That's called having a really good, clear perspective.
Yeah, well, I don't think we should be afraid of death. There's no reason to be afraid of death. There's no reason to be afraid of invaders from Mars or anything else.
No, but it's a lot of fun, isn't it?
It is. I mean, hey, you know, it's all about, like you said, it's Star Wars. It's like, here's the end game. But I don't believe in timelines. I don't believe in doomsday predictions. I don't believe that the universe operates on clocks and calendars, since those are all man-made concepts, human concepts. You know, I think that, like you said, anything can happen at any time. I'd be more worried about nuclear annihilation, because U.S. paratroopers are now in Ukraine with Russian soldiers in Ukraine with a war going on. I mean, you know, with fear.
Sure, an Ebola breakout that's actually truly viral.
But yeah, we don't know, and we don't know from one day to the next, you know, what people are going to do. And these are things that are all outside of our control.
Actually, folks, you know, we're actually more likely to be affected by the nuclear fallout from a nuclear power plant.
Nope,
take Fukushima in Japan. Do you know that the lovely people there are actually pumping plutonium into the sea so that the local folks don't get affected as much, and so they don't get into trouble? And fisheries on the west coast of America have already started closing down because the fish are mutant or can't reproduce, and we've got wildlife already affected. Oh my God.
Oh yeah. And you think it's going to get probably a lot worse before you see that change.
We are on a self-destructive path.
Which is why perhaps, and excuse me if this is a somewhat nihilistic view, or perhaps a non-humanitarian view, but perhaps our civilization does have to be wiped out because we are killing the Earth, where humanity's not very good for Earth.
Maybe it's happened before, with, like I said, with other civilizations have come and gone, and, you know, sometimes conflict is a way to bring about major positive change in the end.
Maybe it's time to wipe most of humanity out, because all we do is pollute the Earth.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if an atom is more significant than you are, or you are more significant than Pluto is, to give you an example of my idea of what is. Because every in that model, you're taking favorites if you're taking any at all.
Yeah.
Is Earth as valuable as one other human being? Maybe, maybe not. For me, we're, you know, joined at the hip. You know, we're one and the same. And in many ways, I almost feel connected in myself. That means I feel that the things that I do aren't helping myself, which are also impacting the globe, which is, if I, you know, instead of using plastic bags, I could use paper, couldn't I? Instead of taking it further, I could, you know, and these sort of thoughts are impressing upon us all day long to be dutiful bound towards this Earth. And it feels like that's right, and it feels like it's important, and it's a movement that's moving us in a certain direction. And I'm responding to it as, you know, somebody that also thinks about it. That's the world we live in today. Now, are we going to be quick enough, fast enough to really change? No, a lot of species are going to die out. Humanity, you know, we're like cockroaches. We tend to survive. I don't know if we're going to be able to really eradicate us. But, you know, there's going to be interesting times ahead. I don't think you're going to have the power in any one group over the next couple hundred years to destroy, you know, that will put forth that sort of an effort. I just don't see that in humanity's future. But I see a lot of tough things occurring where, you know, in my mind's eye, that the experience that need to be learned and learned again and again and again until everybody finally rises up and says that's enough's enough. That's you know, great. But how much can the human bear? The human can bear an awful light. In fact, it can bear almost everything, and they kind of know that. That's why they, you know, if there's a way to affect you, it's by affecting you not just in one way. We'll affect you at 20 different ways at once. You don't even know what to do because your whole life's a mess. We so got you in the economy. We got you in your bank account. We got you in your education system. We got you in your home front. We got the way you treat. We got you on your kids. We got everything. See, they know that. Right, so they can hit you with 30 problems at once, and then there's a change that occurs in the human psyche, and that's one that becomes dependent, depressed, scared, and not very effective. It's not that may not be a bad thing. Maybe we want people like that, but ultimately for diversity's sake, and I always come back to diversity because I think that in unity there's infinity. So we need to allow for infinite diversity. That's just important. As you know, that's how I feel life should be, to allow for diversity and really be very loving. But that's not going to be our rulers don't have that in mind for a while. I think they have this other idea in mind. Let's make the globe, put it all under one power structure. And then when we control it, we can make everybody's lives better. Maybe that's their, you know, because I can't think that people are truly that stupid, right? Oh, we hate the human race.
Not to be stupid, but they're very egotistical, that the powers that rule over us.
I think there's an
argument. How evil are they really? Some people think they're pedophiles. Some people think they'll kill you at a dime. I mean, how evil are people really? Or are they really have some other idea in mind, which their methods suck, and they're wrong in the way they're expressing it, but you know, they're ultimately they think they're doing good.
This is all, you know, I believe, like you said, in the human experiment, and this is the school of life and personal growth, and we learn our lessons, and the universe will keep hitting you harder and harder until you get the lesson. But we're the ones giving meaning to everything in life, everything outside of ourselves. So evil is another interpretation. Like, you know, I've worked with criminal offenders and the homeless and missing children. And I don't know. I've worked with lots of pedophiles. I don't know. I like to think that people can reform and people can do better. And that's why I like the personal growth philosophy. And I think that's why we're here, like you said.
But I know that in Buddhism, I wouldn't say believe, but that's, I guess, a philosophy that most, I think is the highest, one of the highest possible philosophies around. In Buddhism, everyone is considered a potential Buddha. In other words, anyone can become enlightened eventually, maybe after many, many lifetimes, but eventually.
I think we all go at our own pace.
And I like the idea that we all have the capacity to be enlightened, and that evil is simply being ignorant.
It's an interpretation, I guess,
but I'm
clearly
not sure that's true.
No, there's clearly things that are wrong.
And there are sociopaths around who cannot empathize. And, Doug, you know, the question is also whether the people in the power, the Illuminati, the globalists, whether they're actually fully human or whether they're hybrids, which is kind of
but then again, are they any different from us? If there are reptilians, which I believe
true.
Are the reptilians any different from the human personalities that we have?
Well,
some are
right.
good and some are bad or
well,
whatever.
Or were we seeded and have an amalgamation within us of some alien DNA?
Last,
who knows?
Well, that's very possible. Certainly the human embryo goes through a stage where a reptilian stage. It looks like
they're evil as heck. I think they're unaware, and I think the only way humanity is going to see real change in diversity is when we populate the solar system. Until then, you're probably going to see a longer and longer clamp down on everybody's head. Why? I don't get it. But
I think there's an argument in the higher realm that people just can't manage their lives, and that they destroy the planet, and so they need to be controlled,
right.
And that free will needs to be limited because of that, because of this destructive sort of right. overpopulated cockroach nature.
We're really self-destructive. We don't have... What does humanity lack? Willpower.
Passion.
Willpower. Willpower.
Choice.
Willpower.
I was going to say humanity.
It almost feels like people know, but when you do the wrong thing and you do it long enough, you can let it excuse you to do other wrong things because you didn't take a stand or you said a white lie or it just gets... So you're conditioned in that sort of a way. We are. But it's not the way I want to be.
That's interesting that you say that. It's not that we lack empathy. We lack willpower.
Yeah, that has a lot to do with power of choice, which is another central philosophy of mine. I mean, in my form of mysticism, I believe in process of improvement and pursuit of perfection, which is just basically personal growth. But like you're saying, Doug, there's this sort of...
We know what's right. But making the hard choices is too hard, or it doesn't provide a safety net to those who have it all, or... But the people know. So it's the will to do what it takes in that regard. We lack that. And why...
So I wonder, when we talk about the fact that we have to learn things, we still have to learn. Is that what we have to learn, I wonder?
I think we have to learn to take control of our lives, our manifesting of reality.
Well, that's willpower.
And it's willpower. Exactly.
Manifesting 101, manifesting reality is up to us. It's our personal reality, and we're putting that stuff out into the universe, into the outer world, where other people are influenced by it. So we need to be conscious of that as well. It's as within, so without. What's going on within our minds is also going on outside of us, and what's going on outside of us is affecting our inner reality.
Okay, well, I'm going to pose a really interesting question to you guys. Who would have the greater willpower? Human A, who prepares for possible doomsday, who buys a van, who starts growing their own food, or person B, who meditates and refuses to think about a doomsday scenario and who focuses on the world being a loving, good place that will always provide.
And this has always been the argument.
Who has the greater willpower?
The light worker who does the positive meditation, or the activist guardian?
The person who confronts the things from within that he says to himself he lacks and can improve upon. Whatever arguments, from within, you have those questions. From within you. And those things you don't face, you lack the willpower.
Okay.
Because the answers are
like a bad habit. Right? We're made up of a lot of bad habits.
True. Mm. We always do need to look at ourselves first before we judge anyone else or anything else. And in the end, does it really matter? It's like dust in the wind. Time is infinite. Mm. You know, and so is anyone doing anything? I mean, certainly, if you're hurting or injuring other people, that's a problem. But if your behavior is innocent, does it really matter in the end where we're all going to die anyhow? And we are infinite beings. Whether you practice survival for yourself or you meditate in a mountaintop, I don't know that those innocent practices really affect them either way.
When it comes to developing your willpower, it looks like it's different depending on who you are. For one person, developing their willpower would be very different to what it would be for another person.
It would be, and what works for one person may not work for another, and we are here to work on ourselves. Mm.
If I was to give you unlimited power, the one thing I'd want to know is that you have the will to use it correctly.
Yeah, with great power comes great responsibility.
And that responsibility is only held in check by the will of the person who's holding that responsibility. Nothing really else. So power and will are so important. I think, on some level, that is something we all face. We're facing it together, and we're facing it individually. That's really, do we have the will to affect our desired choice?
doesn't that come with wisdom and insight, too? With the sort of knowledge and wisdom and insight and that comes with meditation, I think, and looking within yourself for the answers, like you said, to be able to handle that kind of power and make the good choices and have good decision-making.
And looking from outside of yourself as well.
Both,
because there are many paradigms that if we were confronted with, we'd really change. And one example would be the idea of being vegetarian versus being a meat eater. And I know that for many years I ate meat and I did not want to think about what happened inside an abattoir. And then one day on Facebook, there was a video that came up and I forced myself to watch it. And I knew that I was going to be very upset. And I was, up until 2 o'clock in the morning. I was sobbing, absolutely sobbing, because I watched a video of a pig being killed in an abattoir, and the look on the pig's face, I will never forget. It was a very intelligent look. It was the look of something that could actually comprehend its own death. And, you know, it doesn't take a huge amount of effort, but it does take effort to change your habits.
And your thinking.
And your thinking.
And yeah, that's true. I just want to interject. I had something from my higher self yesterday about this very thing, and it was this that my higher self said to me. In nature, we often see that one creature must die so that another may live. This does not mean that we should murder, torture, abuse, oppress, or otherwise mistreat any other living being. Such acts are detrimental to the harmony of the planet.
Mm. Yes, I would agree with that. I would agree that it's tough to find the balance.
It is, yeah.
You know, it really is. What's right, what's wrong in it all. We all are, in some way, if you want to look at it in that way, not facing a lot of inner truths.
Right.
All of us. We can't run from them. You know, they're going to live. And the interesting thing about is humanity is they're going to continue to live. They're going to continue to fester, just like a disease. And eventually it's going to make itself known. And no human wants to die, ultimately, I think, in the respect of beating the disease. So, and we're just like a bad problem in our... We're going to overcome it. We really will, because you're going to be forced to. You're going to have... There's no other way you're going to want to make it work.
Another thing I heard from my higher power was this. There may not be a good answer or solution to every problem we encounter in life, but there is always a resolution to them. Whether or not we like the outcome is an entirely different matter.
Mm-hmm.
So there is not always a good answer, but there is always a conclusion to everything, whether we like it or not.
Yes, that's a fact. There is a conclusion.
Yeah.
Oh, it's interesting that we both seem a little bit sad now.
Well, we're not. It's I think it's a bit of just facing the reality that...
of your own limitations.
Sure, yeah. We have our control over what we can do, and then sometimes we look at the things outside of ourselves and we get a little bit dejected in looking at... I don't know. You know, it's an interesting...
It's strange. You go up and you go down. One week you're feeling like your spirit. Here, interestingly enough, I've found that the closer you get to awareness, sometimes you get angrier.
Mm.
You find that you're angrier because it seems so obvious to you. You know, that level of awareness and why isn't somebody else? And that can create a spiritual, you know, disease. Just as well, and it will present its way. Why? Because with more awareness, I think just like with more power, you're going to be confronted with more questions, perhaps, and a little bit more uncertainty, and you have to have a little grasp on even awareness before, you know, you gain something else, perhaps. But, you know, we're all struggling with that, and I find that anger in me resides within me, and I find that I can... feel people's energy, and I don't want to have to deal with it anymore because it seems so selfish, that energy. And I don't know how, you know, I could be around that constantly. So, and does that make me spiritual now that I see the people in that way? Now that I'm, you know, probably I could be a Zen master and take it without any emotional context and just smile and go, but I can't, you know. I'm right. I'm as average as the next Joe. And when you have an awakening, you're still going to be average. You're just going to be more aware of your faults. How do you like it so far?
Yeah.
Oh, you might be able to gain a level higher of happiness, but now you're going to gain a level of insight even into your badness. So
When you hit some level of enlightenment, you seem to even see your faults even more. And I know Lana deals with me, what you just said with me quite a bit when I get angry, and she knows mine, and I recognize it, and I don't often like it about myself. And sometimes when you look within yourself, you hit that darkness, like you said, and you see those things within yourself that you don't really like, and it actually comes out, and you do get angry, and it's a form of passion, but you don't necessarily want to be around other people when you're like that, and you don't want to be around other people who are like that, and I've accepted that. I don't see myself as any kind of guru or master or anything else, just an average Joe like everyone else, learning and living and loving and laughing and doing what I do best. And
we are ultimately very complex beings.
We
have to accept all of our faults together with all of our greatest potential traits and our best traits. We are like many universes, I think.
We are multidimensional beings with multidimensional personalities with many aspects to our character.
And thank God, otherwise love would be boring.
It is. And, relationships are probably the most difficult thing, the biggest challenge in life, I think. Romantic relationships and partnerships and professional relationships and societal relationships are very, very difficult.
Business partnerships, oh yeah.
Relationships Absolutely. Can give you the greatest pleasure.
And the most learning.
And the greatest pain.
They certainly do.
And that's just the way it is.
Lana and I are no different.
Hey, with the greater pleasure comes a greater pain, so watch out. You don't want the princess. No, I'm joking. Unless you do, because you like the pain too.
No pain, no gain, I guess. You love it, and then there's other times when you'd get to walk away and reflect on things. I always found introspection and reflection very important, in my writing and stuff, and trying to get those insights and lessons. So,
and that's part of survival as well. We can talk about survival of us as a species on the planet. We can talk about our emotional survival, and it's always seems to do. To do with these waves that we have to ride out, the highs and the lows. And
the mental emotional survival is the most important, I think.
Right.
I find emotions to be one of the most difficult things in life to deal with.
I guess the greatest of wisdom is to accept what is and to ride it out as best we can.
That's the serenity prayer.
Well,
with as much excitement as passion as possible.
I love you both. I think you have all the passion and the beauty in the world. No matter what you're doing it right.
We haven't started growing our own food, though.
No, we have not.
So I'm impressed by you.
We're not doing as much as you are, for sure. And
we are going to take a permaculture course, and we are going to buy this wonderful van.
I don't do it because so much the food. Okay, this is another contradiction. But it's not really the food. You know what it is? It's... when you do something with your hand and you see it the next day growing, and the next day growing, it'd be like maybe having a child.
Oh,
maybe
really?
On some level, because every day you get to wake up to see a little thing, something a little different.
Oh,
another new bud.
Okay.
another new limb. Another new fruit. You know, you get to look at it every day and it's giving you wonder. To me, that's like a relationship.
Wow. It is. We have a relationship with many things, especially with the plant life and
that's
the wilderness.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Actually growing food.
It's a living thing.
For your emotional satisfaction or spiritual satisfaction.
Right.
That's interesting.
I absolutely love plants, and I find plants and vegetables, and they're certainly alive and have spirit in them, and I see them as just, very peaceful, and probably trees are some of the most wisest creatures in the world, I think, and having
the potential and the willpower to actually grow and to give something life.
Get a lot of satisfaction out of that fulfillment in doing that,
Oh yeah.
Definitely.
It's a wonder. It's a wonder around here. I mean, you'd be surprised. The different areas for different groupings of fruits or plums or nuts or berries or, oh my God, it's all here. It's all here.
So what
and it's
do you grow
beautiful.
Then?
Hmm?
What do you grow?
Everything.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Wait. I mean, pomegranates, figs. We're trying to grow bananas. any wow. type of grape or berry or currant, every type of plum or mandarin, orange, limes, apples.
Oh my goodness! Wow, you've got a whole.
Let's see what else. Blueberries, figs. Boy, just.
Are you doing this the normal way or hydroponics or?
Just the normal way.
Uh huh.
Matter of fact, I do it the hardest way. I get out with a little shovel, and this is all rock here. It's all rock. It's all rock. So when you dig out a foot of land, you're going to have, a half of that is going to be rock. It's just going to be terrible. It's all clay, so it's very hard. So you really got to work it. It's all sloped. You're on a canyon, so it's all sloped down. So I had to really work a lot of years to make this place look what it looks like now. And it's beautiful. I mean, I've probably done 500-600 feet of rock walls up as high as 8 feet high or 6-7 feet high. Trellises of all nature, fencing to keep deer out.
So you have a lot of acres where you do this? And
this is just on 1 acre. I don't even want to get to the other couple. Just
my goodness, and you and Don do this, your brother? And
Don is more focused on house plants. The ones that germinate inside, you can keep inside that can grow and produce smells and food and spices and things like that. He really loves that. He does. He's really good. He's very thorough. He puts it all. He knows everything that's on the property in an Excel sheet that goes on forever, and tells you everything about everything plant, right? So he's really meticulous when it comes to wanting to document, what we are growing here. So that's interesting. It's a love, you want to, if you don't have the money to get out and go anywhere, and that's honest, I don't. If I'm, can I have the, if I do, it's borrow money. And I'm, that's just, so I make the beauty around here. Why go to it when I can every day look forward to it growing here?
I don't know how you two have the time to do everything you do, because you work like 100 hours, the two of you work 100 hours a week with this radio show producing all these shows, which must be
find the time.
100 of them, I don't know.
Find an hour here, an hour there. Like, there'll be a time period where, let's say I don't have shows for 4 hours, and then for a couple hours I can do that, and I do it. Every chance I, if there's anything I do, that's what I do. There's nothing really else I do. So if there's, like, what do you do when you're off, when you're not working? Well, some people sit around, watch TV, or they read something, or they go shopping. I don't do any of that. I go straight outside, and I work. That's what
I do. That's great. My martial arts teacher, when I was a teenager, said, you find the time to do the things that are important to you. So
I need it. For some reason, it's a part of me and my ability to let go and be productive.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Yeah. That's beautiful. It sounds like you have lovingly tended to all these plants, and it sounds like you and Don are probably very energetic and healthy with the food that you grow.
I would say that that's our very intention to have that occur. So far, knock on wood, we do believe we are healthy. We look good. I don't want to peel in under too far under the skin, because I like sugar, and I like coffee. I like tea. I like it all.
Sure. Mm. Yeah, we're meant to enjoy life.
The good and the bad.
We certainly are here for the pleasures of life as well as, our responsibilities. So I think tonight. Do you know The Secret Life of Plants? One of my favorite books. I incorporated some of it into my book, Illusion of the Body, and it talks about communication with plants and the idea of, I talked about panpsychism, that all things have consciousness and plants have consciousness and intelligence. And
yes. I think that's more like a photos. There is awareness in all of our cells. More of an awareness at a very basic level.
Right.
But I believe it is awareness. And I think it can span any distance, because there's, just like they're seeing now in advanced physics, that there's particles that, if you pull particles apart or create, something from an original starting point, you can have, it affect the other particle from great distances. These are things that we now know that we're doing, we're using that understanding, but plants seem to be able to do that at great distances, and they say so does our genetic structure. You know, mm-hmm. it reacts to our problems or events during the day from other locations on the planet if you were to take your, you know, DNA to that location. I don't know. I can't test this myself. I got to believe that some of this information that comes to this network, but believe me, take that to a million times further and then you get to where I am. You don't know what to believe.
No, I cannot be
right. So you take it all with a grain of salt on some level, and you know, I hope a lot of it's real. I don't know. I have faith, but
sure. I put out a lot of unproven metaphysical theories, and they're not even new. But I put a lot of ideas out there that don't have any necessarily have that type of traditional scientific evidence to back them up. But like that one, that ripple of that mental ripple effect in the universe, that oneness, that one thing affects all other conscious beings in the universe.
And I've certainly read that our DNA may be changing, must be a very dynamic system. And in fact, our double helix might be being gradually replaced by a 12 parts to the DNA helix, part of the ascension process from three dimensions to four and to the fifth dimension. We might be ascending, which is very exciting.
What if I told you they're changing right now in this conversation that we're having?
Absolutely, because we're getting new ideas and we're changing
right.
with those ideas.
Oops, I've got another helix.
So it's always changing in that way already.
Sure.
Can that process of that change be affected based on maybe the amount of hydrogen in the air? Could. Or the amount of magnetics that are coming about on things around you. Maybe that's really a bad thing because of all these electricity wires. But yes, I think that we could be affected by the solar system, the great middle, the great black hole. Those waves are hitting us all the time, and they create maybe hormonal changes or maybe the way our cells, you know, act on some level. Who knows? I mean, it's fascinating to think that these things can occur, but just like sound glancing off an object can have an impact on that object's spin and that wave and that amplitude of that movement. So, yeah.
I think that's true, yeah. And a lot of these things are physics, so...
And perhaps that's where willpower comes into it, because with things like Planet X and Nibiru, they say the potential is for incredible evolution and change. So perhaps what we need to do is steel ourselves and do the things that we need to do to survive, if we want to survive, but also focus on evolving, always evolving up higher rather than lower. And that potential looks like it's happening more and more. We're going through a very exciting time of both potential catastrophe, but also amazing possibilities for humanity.
It definitely is, and I think it's okay.
I'm going to let you guys close out. We only got about a minute. I want to say I love you guys.
Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Fantastic show. Thank
really
you so
exciting.
Much. Yeah, great ideas.
Looking forward to evolving further and further.
Yeah, we are still going to be pre-recording a show with Sasha Stone soon, and we have some IVF doctors coming up, and we have a lot of other special guests coming up, and
so till
one
next
of our
time.
Favorites.
So till next time, goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye. We'll see you next time on Universal Soul Love.
Bye.